Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right, I'm going to jump on in. My name is Matt. If you don't know me and I haven't met you before, I'd love to meet you. Really thankful for this church and this group of people that God has brought together. I always tell people we have amazing people at Awake Church, and that is really true. So today I want to do something a little bit different than what we, you know, we talk a lot. I talk a lot about the kingdom. We talk about Jesus. We talk about what he's done for us, what he's doing for us, rising from the dead, all of the things. And today I want to focus a little bit differently on something that would be perhaps equipping, but I want to talk a little bit about some of the schemes of the enemy. Because as a pastor, part of what a pastor really, what it means is a shepherd. And what a shepherd does several things. But one of the things that a shepherd does is he's supposed to take care of the sheep. And when the enemy is coming around, a wolf or lion or bear or whatever, or bug or fly or whatever, when they're bothering the sheep, part of the shepherd's job is to deal with that thing and to expose it and to help. And so that's one of the things I want to do today, is to try and expose something that the enemy does, one of his tactics. I don't like talking about him a lot, but every once in a while we need to, just to expose his tactics so that we can fight in a right way, that we can be aware of the ways that he works so that we don't give in to any of his garbage. So that's what I want to do today. We're never to be afraid of the enemy, right? Never be afraid of him. From the moment you met Jesus, you have authority over him. Do you realize that? You can be a one-minute old Christian and have authority over the enemy, not over people, over the enemy. That's a powerful thing because of Jesus and what he's done for us. But we're also not supposed to get into a conversation with him. No talking with the devil, only to, and telling him what to do, right? These kind of things I'm going to talk about right now are important because he's tricky. He's tricky, and he wants to trick you and deceive you, and he wants to get you into a conversation with him. Don't do it. Do not get into a conversation in your mind with the things that the enemy says to us. It's part of what got us all in a mess in the very beginning, right? Snake talking to Eve, she started listening, talking back, paying attention to what he's saying. That is a mess. So what we never want to listen to him. If he's speaking, he's lying. If he's talking, he's deceiving. If he's near, he's trying to do something bad. So we want to make sure as believers that we are absolutely set on what we believe, on who we are, on who Jesus is, and we're not putting up with anything that the enemy says. Right? This is important. John 14:30, Jesus said, "The ruler of the world is coming, but he has nothing in me." He's got nothing in me. I've given him no place. I'm not listening to his voice. He's got nothing in me. There's only one proper position for a believer to have related to the enemy, and that's to be with your foot on his neck, right under your feet. And the you remember with Joshua, when they started to conquer the promised land, and all these kings they're fighting against all these other people, and they found five kings. He had them lay on the ground, and he had his leaders come over, and he said, "Let's put your foot right over here on the neck of these kings. This is the position that you have over your enemy." And that spiritually today is our position over the enemy, is foot on his neck. What we are supposed to be as believers are super loving. Love people, love God with all. That's what Jesus said. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love people as much as you love yourself. But when it comes to the enemy, show no love. We're not supposed to be kind to him. We're not supposed to be hospitable, but we're also not supposed to be arrogant. Don't need to be arrogant toward him, but we need to be ruthless with him. Ruthless with what he says, ruthless with his ways, ruthless with sin. You know, I love Switzerland, the nation of Switzerland, the people of Switzerland. I've been there several times and have a real love for that nation. But spiritually, we are not and cannot be a Switzerland in the sense of neutrality. Just kind of be friends with everybody. We listen to what God says, listen to what the devil says. Nope. We have to choose. Whose side are we on? And we're standing with the Lord, and I'm not listening, not paying one bit of attention. I'm not dealing with, not going to entertain anything that the terrorist Satan wants to say. Those kind of things have to be set, and we are in a battle. You are in a battle. And I'm speaking this way because of the seriousness of how we need to live as it relates to the enemy and to sin. We can't be mamby-pamby because he's playing for keeps. I remember once having this strange feeling I was in a room, there were other people, and there was a woman in the room as well, and there was this weird draw that I felt toward her and she felt toward me, and it was bad. I got up and I left the room. I went outside and I started rebuking that thing out loud. I will not think about that person. I am not going there. I'm married. I'm married. It's a done deal. I'm not entertaining any other thought or feeling or pull toward anybody else. Right? You have to do, if you don't live that way, then all those kind of things, bad things happen. That's how the enemy works. He tries to deceive us and give us false feelings to get us into being involved with something or entertain it or just think about it, to consider something. We can't do it. If we're going to live righteously, if we're going to follow the Lord our whole life, we have to be absolutely set on what I'm listening to, on what I'm thinking about, what I allow my mind to think about. We have to be absolutely set. There are two parts to freedom. The first part and the most important part, Jesus did for us. He paid for our freedom. He paid for our freedom. He said it's finished. His blood covers, breaks the power of the enemy. Chains broken, captive set free. That's you and I. But the second part is our part. We can't earn our freedom, but we have to maintain and not allow the enemy to encroach in places he does not belong. In here, in our homes, in our lives, it's our job to protect the house, protect the home, protect the mind, and say, I am not going to allow these certain thoughts to come in. I won't entertain these things. The enemy is like a squatter. You see that across the country right now. People have two homes. One's vacant, and all of a sudden somebody just shows up, breaks in, pretends like it's theirs. The enemy will try and break in and pretend like you're his. In your mind with your thoughts. So we have to take captive, as the Bible says, right? Take captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus. If that thought is not a thought that Jesus would want me to have, then I need to grab a hold of it and I need to deal with that quickly, aggressively. There are times to be aggressive. These are those times. Not aggressive with people, aggressive with the enemy and thoughts that are not from God. Romans 12:2, in the Passion says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. You know, the Lord reveals parts of his nature through the names that he shares with us that he has. So many different names, like 50 or something. You know, the Lord, he's our banner. Sid Kanu, he is our Jehovah Jireh. He's our healer, he's our provider, all of these things. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd. He's the lamb. All of these things, the great, you know, so many aspects of God through his names talk about his nature, what he's like and what he does. The enemy's the same way, and God has given us the names and description of the enemy. He is the one that kills, Jesus said, he kills, steals, and destroys. He's the killer, he's the stealer, he's the destroyer. He's the father of lies. The father of lies. One of the names for the devil is the Lord of the Flies or the Lord of the Dung. That's the devil. And then lastly, well, he has other ones too, but lastly, in this today, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down. The one who accuses them before our God day and night." Part of the devil's nature in his name is that he accuses every day, all day long, day and night. His kingdom with the demonic hordes, they are bringing accusation. They bring lies, they bring accusation. Verse 11, "And they overcame him," us, overcame him, "because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death." So we overcome the enemy through the testimony of what Jesus has done for us, through the blood of Jesus that he has given to us, that we were just remembering, partaking of, and not loving our own lives, even unto death. The enemy is relentless to accuse you. And that accusation is meant very clearly for a couple things to happen. Here's what the enemy wants to do with accusation. Not just to accuse you, make you feel bad. He wants to separate you from God and separate you from one another. He's the divider. He wants to separate your marriage. He wants to separate you from your church family. He wants to separate you from anything that God puts together, any meaningful relationship. The enemy will try and use accusation to separate you, especially from God. So accusations come in so many different ways. In Genesis 3, as I mentioned earlier, the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." The serpent said to the woman, after God has already spoken with them, he comes in and says, "You're not going to die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it," the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, "your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Here's how the enemy works. Right off the bat, in the very beginning, the enemy inserts himself and he says basically, now these weren't the words he just said, but here's what he meant. God's lying. You can't trust him. He's keeping the best from you. That's all right there in what he just said. God's lying. You can't trust him. He's withholding the best from you. So you have to get it yourself. You've got to do for yourself. And there's the other lie in there, that you're not in the image of God yet, but you will be if you do the wrong thing. Lie upon lie upon lie, but it's accusation against God, trying to get us separate from God. And it worked that time. Got them separate from the Lord. That's how the enemy continues to work. And he does it subtly and deceptively with the things that he says. Tries to get us to doubt God, his faithfulness, his goodness, his love, his kindness, his power. And doubt who you are. He'll try and get you to, he'll attack your identity. We'll talk about that in a moment. Right now, Luke chapter 4. And the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. What's the insinuation there if he says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God? You're not the Son of God unless you prove it. You got to prove something. He does this to Jesus several times. Jesus answered him, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone. And then the enemy led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it's been handed over to me. I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, it shall all be yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then he led him in to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. You got to prove it, if you are. Well, Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus was not putting up with these questions related to his identity of who he was. He didn't need to prove one thing to the enemy. And neither do you. Neither do we. And he will still lie in those same ways. He'll lie about God. He accuses God. He'll still lie about you and accuse you and who you are in God. It's what he does. His voice is tempting also to listen to. And sometimes it sounds like and feels like you need to listen just in case there's something in there that I need to do. That's a huge trap. That's a huge trap. Again, if the enemy's speaking, he's lying. I heard a friend say this. I know it's kind of a crude example. I'm going to use it anyway. Would any one of you go out in your front yard if you have a dog and find a pile that the dog has left in your yard and get a fork and a knife and start going through it to find anything edible in that? You never, ever would. Even if there was something, there isn't, you throw the whole thing away. And this is how we should treat anything the enemy says, any accusation or any if you or should you or you need to think about this or what about that. You throw the whole thing away. You don't dig around in there looking for truth because he has none. You don't look around in there just in case. No, we bury the whole thing, throw the whole thing away. That's being ruthless with the lies of the enemy. Now, the Holy Spirit, his conviction is beautiful. The wondrously unique ways of the Holy Spirit are so different than the accusation and lies and deception of the enemy. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And whenever he convicts us, that's different than accusation, completely different. It's an invitation to get right. It's an invitation to come and get free, and there's hope attached to it, and there's love behind it. The enemy doesn't work that way. We have to be able to discern easily and quickly the difference between accusation and conviction. And we don't pay attention to accusation, but we pay all kinds of attention to conviction. They come two different spirits. Invisible, yet these things both are very real, as you know. And we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, convict us of sin. Oh, I'm so thankful for that conviction. Sometimes you don't even realize you have. But when the Holy Spirit does, it has hope attached to it immediately. It's an invitation to be free. Accusation never feels free, ever. false charges that the enemy speaks or accusation come in thoughts like this. Your heart isn't right, so God won't bless you. You shouldn't expect someone to get healed when you pray for them because you aren't holy enough. Don't try that. You will fail and make God look bad. You ever heard any of these things? You didn't do that perfectly, so now you're going to get sick and die. The enemy has all kind of crazy things to say. Your children are going to get hurt or die because of the it's accusation. It's lies. Anything that comes in that form, we know what it is. We know how to treat it. People think this about you, so you shouldn't go to church because they're thinking about this about you. You shouldn't be involved in a GT because they think about certain things about you. It's all lies, accusations that have no truth in them at all. Again, the enemy uses accusation to separate us from other believers, separate us from God. Then he uses feelings, the enemy does. You might feel like God is not happy with me. Not sure what he feels about me. So I'm walking around living in a way uncertain about how God feels about me. You know, you should never be uncertain about how God feels about you. You don't want to know how he feels about you? He loves you. He's crazy about you. He loves you so much that he came and died for you. His heart is wide open to you, and he pursues you every day, all of your life. Wants to be near, wants to be close, wants to abide in you, and you in him. You're his son or a daughter. You're adopted. You're in the family. He loves you. If the feeling comes or the thought comes, and there's uncertainty related to how God feels about you, it's a lie. It's the accuser, the enemy, trying to get you to be separate from God. That's why we need to quote the scriptures. And then he accuses us through other people. I've been accused of many things. Sometimes, honestly, you have to just laugh. From people accusing me of immorality to murder to stealing, all these accusations come through other people sometimes. And we need to almost expect it, but not be affected by it, not be offended by it. Because it's just the enemy slinging stuff. He's trying to get something to stick to get you to go do something different. Remember when Nehemiah was tasked with going back to Israel to build the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down and they'd been captive for all these years, 70 years? And as he's going, he's rebuilding, there were three characters, Sanballat, Tobiah, and someone else. And they didn't like what he was doing. What is he doing rebuilding the walls? So they sent messages to him and said, come talk to us. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a meeting. And he said, no. He said, I'm busy. I got work to do. So they sent another message. Just come have a chat. He said, no. Then they accused him. And they said, you know, we've heard that you just want to be king. That's why you're doing this. You want to be king. You want this and you want that. This is why you're doing this. Nehemiah had such a great response, a response that you and I can have as well. He said, what you've said is not true, and you've invented it in your own mind. I'm going to keep working. End of discussion. What you're saying is not true. You invented it in your own mind. It's never been a thought of mine. And I've got work to do. And they kept working with what? A sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. They're not putting up with, not being distracted by the accusation and go down there and work it out. Dig around with your spoon and fork and a pile of dog. Not going to do that. I am building something. We're working in the kingdom. We don't have time to mess around with the enemy's accusations against us. Fruitless. And then he will try to get you to be a part of not just accusation against yourself, but of to be on the enemy's team to accuse others. This is a danger for all believers. Because we can, we don't realize it, but we can participate with the enemy in his accusation when a thought comes to us about another person, and we then act and pass that along. I've done that before. And it is so hurtful and harmful. We then get in league as a believer. I can get in league with the enemy through his accusation when I accuse someone else. And I've seen it many times. I've been affected by it. It happens particularly in marriages. And it might happen a little bit like this. So your spouse says something to you, doesn't feel good. And you say, you said this to me because you are thinking this, or you have got this in your heart. That is passing along accusation. Guess what? We don't know what's in the heart of another person. We don't know what's the motives of another person. We don't know the thoughts of another person. So when we say, you said that because you are thinking this and you're feeling this and this is what's going on inside of you, we are accusing that person. And in a marriage, it happens all the time. And so I've committed with my wife that we're not going to accuse one another. If something is said that feels bad, if something is said that is hurtful, here's what we need to do. Instead of say, you said that because, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to participate with the devil. I'm going to say, honey, you said this. Here's what I heard you say. Is this what you meant? It's a question. So I ask a question. That's completely different than accusing them. Asking a question is a great way for a relationship to grow and thrive without accusing each other. Pop psychology stinks. When we think that we know the motives of another person and we start saying things about their motives, we can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit territory. Holy Spirit territory is to know what's in the heart of a person, the mind of a person. That's not our job to accuse. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. So we have to stay away from that. With friends and relationships, family members, we cannot accuse them. It will just do all kind of damage. Talk about, because once you do that accusation, then the level goes up one and the shots get fired right back, and then that goes up and you find yourselves up here. You're not supposed to be there. So we just need to ask. So when the enemy is accusing, sometimes we need to do what the Lord does. Here's what the Lord does. The Lord sits in the heavens and laughs at the enemy. We can laugh at accusation. It's not being arrogant. We can just laugh it off. No, I'm not going to not only participate in this. That's crazy. That was a good one. Religion trains us to live condemned, always in doubt, beating ourselves up for not being good enough, listening to every accusation and trying to weigh its merit, investigate it to see if it's true. And that is not what you're called to do, any of that. You have been freed from religion, set free to have a relationship with God. And he lives on the inside of you. On the other ditch, on the other side of the road, is worldliness, where there is no conviction that is paid attention to, and everything goes, and everything's okay, and there's no fear of God. We don't want to be in either one of these ditches, of religion or of worldliness. We need to walk on the path the Lord has for us, walking in the fear of the Lord, living by conviction that he gives us, being led by him. When the enemy accuses you, you can say, this is why we need the wordiness so much, I am the light of the world, is what Jesus said about you. I am loved. I'm adopted. I'm a son, I'm a daughter. He lives inside of me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. How about that? Sounds arrogant. It's not. It's truth. And we're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus. I'm carrying him, and I put him on. I have a hope and a future. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. These are the kind of things we need to speak when the enemy comes with any type of accusation against you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, but to me it is a very small thing, this is Paul speaking, that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. How about that one? Paul is living in such a way, wide open with the Lord, that he's not navel gazing and he's not dissecting his soul. He's going to live for Jesus, eyes on Jesus, and trust the Holy Spirit that if I'm doing something wrong, he will convict me. That's the way to live. Not hear an accusation, oh no, let me think about it, make sure that's not true. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, Paul says. Yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Ah, that's a beautiful way to live. That's forsaking that religious spirit. And of course, we overcome all of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, not loving my life, regardless of what people say about me or my reputation. I'm going to keep following him. Okay, I need to be done. But we need to, I'm just giving you this so that you stay free. Let's stay free and let's stay, you're armed. Use what God has given to you and deal quickly with those thoughts that come. Do not be hospitable to those thoughts. Do not be hospitable to those thoughts. Deal with them, get them out. And so we can stay united with God, united with one another. Lord, we just say thank you right now for defeating the enemy and we get to walk in your victory. And Lord, we give to you all over again just our mind and continue to ask you, Holy Spirit, to transform us and renew our minds all the way, to think the way that you want us to think. And Lord, I pray that you would quickly not only convict us, but you would show us when accusation is lurking and coming against us, that we'd be able to identify it and see it quickly and throw it down, that we would have no participation with it. Lord, forgive us also for accusing anyone else, for being used by the enemy to accuse motives and heart intentions of anyone else, whether it's our spouse or our friend, someone we work with. You said in your word that we're to believe all things, hope all things. And so we choose to believe the best about one another, the best about our spouses, not the worst. And we ask, Lord, that you'd forgive us of any and every way we have participated with the accuser. And forgive us, Holy Spirit, for any and any way that we have provided a place for the accuser to reside in our minds. Any of his thoughts that we have allowed in. Anything where we've tried to dissect and figure out if you might be in it. Lord, forgive us for dealing with that mess. As you cleanse us and wash us and set every person free from the spirit of the accuser, and that we would walk in this newness of life with this great hope, with this great joy, with identity fixed on who you are and who we are in you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.